Malka.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're the first to arrive.
Okay.
Seems to be a bit quiet.
Yeah, it is quiet. Gabriella.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hold on a second, I'll be right back. Yes, come in. Come in.
I'm in. Okay, hang on a minute.
Jewish history class. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud.
All right, I'm going to mute.
Muting.
L'shem Yehud kud shabri hu ishkim te bidkilu urkimu udkimu udkilu urkimu liakta l'shem yudhe babavhe. The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenehu. I apologize, but I need to adjust the temperature in the room. One minute. So this week, as all weeks, we strive to live with the times. And the meaning of that direction is to connect to the energy of the parasha reading for the week. This coming Shabbat, we read two parashiyot. One is titled Behar, on the mountain, and the other is Bechukotai. If you follow my statutes. There's an interesting section in Bechukotai that is very difficult to understand. And it's difficult to live by today. The section to be read is Leviticus chapter 27, The important thing to recognize is the verse before this is chapter 26, verse 26. These are the statutes and ordinances and laws that the Lord made on Mount Sinai between him and the children of Israel by the hand of Moshe. The question is that verse going to apply to the chapter 27? Or does that end the previous chapter? As a matter of practice, the monks who did the nomenclature, who established chapter and verse numbers, would generally end a chapter and start a new chapter because there was a space in the Torah. But you couldn't always depend on that. But let's read chapter 27, and you'll begin to understand why it's so difficult and why I'm having this discussion about verse 46 in chapter 26. Chapter 27, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man utters a vow of persons to the Lord, according to your values, verse 3, then your evaluation shall be for the male between the ages of 20 years old and 60 years old. Even your evaluation will be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Verse 4. And if it is a female, then your evaluation will be 30 shekels. Verse 5. And if it between the ages of 5 years old to 20 years old, then your evaluation shall be 20 shekels for the male and 10 shekels for the female. Verse 6. And if it from 1 month too old to 5 years, then your evaluation shall be 5 shekels of silver for the male, and for the female your evaluation will be 3 shekels of silver. And verse 7. And if it be from 60 years old or more, if it be male, then your evaluation will be 15 shekels, and the female 10 shekels. Verse 8. But if he be too poor for your evaluation, then he shall be set before to the priest, and the priest shall evaluate him according to the means of him that vowed, what the priest will evaluate him. And if it be a beast that men bring as an offering to the Lord, any such animal given to the Lord shall be holy. Verse 10. He shall not alter it or substitute it, a good or a bad, or a bad for a good. And if he should at all change beast for beast, then both it and that for which it is changed shall be holy. Verse 11. And if it be an unclean beast, of which they may not bring an offering to the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest, and the priest shall evaluate it, whether it is good or bad. As you, the priest, evaluates it, so shall it be. Verse 13. But if he will redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part of thereof unto its evaluation. Verse 14. And if a man sanctifies his house to be holy to the Lord, then the priest shall evaluate it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest shall evaluate it, so shall it stand. Verse 15. And if he who sanctified it will redeem his house, then he must add a fifth to its value, and it shall be his. Verse 16. And if a man shall sanctify to the Lord part of the field of his possession, then your evaluation shall be according to the sowing thereof, the sowing of a home. Excuse me. Your evaluation shall be according to the sowing thereof. The sowing of a homer of barley shall be evaluated at 50 shekels of silver. 17. If he sanctifies his field during the year of Jubilee, according to your evaluation shall it stand. Verse 18. But if he sanctifies his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall determine the value according to the number of years that remain until the next year of Jubilee, and an abatement shall be made for your evaluation. Verse 19, and if he who sanctifies the field wishes to redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part of the money for your evaluation of it, and the field will again become his. Verse 20. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he has sold the field to another man, it cannot be redeemed anymore. Verse 21. But when the field is released in the Jubilee, it shall become holy to the Lord as a field devoted. It will become the possession of the priest. Verse 22. And if he sanctifies to the Lord a field he has bought, which is a field of his possession. Verse 23. Then the priest will determine the worth of your evaluation up to the year of Jubilee. And he shall give your evaluation on that day as something holy to the Lord. Verse 24. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to him from whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land belongs. Verse 25. And all your evaluation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerah shall be the shekel. Verse 26. However, the firstborn of a beast which is born as a firstborn to the Lord, no man shall sanctify, whether it is an ox or a sheep, it is the Lord's. Verse 27. And if it is an unclean beast, then he shall ransom it according to your evaluation, and shall add one unto it a fifth of the value of it. And if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your evaluation. Verse 28. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man devotes to the Lord, all that he has, whether of man or beast, or of the field, or of his possession, shall he be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy to the Lord. Verse 29. Nothing devoted that may be devoted of men shall be ransomed. He shall surely be put to death. Verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Verse 31. And if a man will redeem any of his tithe, he must add unto it a fifth part thereof. Verse 32. And the entire tithe of the herd of the flock that passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy to the Lord. Verse 33. He shall not inquire whether it be good or bad, nor shall he change it. And if he changes it at all, then both it and that for which it is changed shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. Verse 34. These are the mitzvot which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. Now, obviously, these verses are very clear. I'm saying that as a joke. First off, we need to understand, what is it referring to? It's referring to, in an agrarian society, you didn't donate to the temple money. You donated animals, and you donated people in the form of slavery, and you donated grains that you had grown, crops that you had grown. That was what you gave to the temple to support the temple. That is what you gave to the temple But if you were going to give it to the temple, why would you want to exchange it? Doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, does it? And how can you donate to the temple a person? How can you give away your child to the temple? And why were females always valuated less than males? Roughly 60%, or roughly 40% less. And essentially, people have struggled with this for the last 200-300 years as the woman's movement has taken hold and gained strength. They would ask the rabbis, explain this valuation. Why is a woman worth less than a man? And why does the Kohen, the priest, evaluate what he's going to receive? The whole section does not make sense. And it even is more confusing if we say, as we are taught, that every verse in the Torah applies to every person in every generation. And why is this important? And can anybody think of other questions? As you heard me read the mitzvot, and these are mitzvot. What is a mitzvah? It's a connection to Hashem. By doing a mitzvah, you make your connection to Hashem and you receive energy for it. And the only way these verses make sense, if you recognize that they are talking about impurity, you donate an animal to the temple, but that's not what it's referring to. It's referring to your negativity that you are donating to the priest, you're donating to the temple. And by donating your negativity, a man is more negative, more impure than a woman. That answers the question, why is a female evaluated less? Because it's discussing negativity. Remember, the Parasha of Pechukotai deals with the 98 curses, but actually only 49 are in Pechukotai. But there is a similar Parasha in Deuteronomy that also has 49 curses. So together there are 98 curses. And 98 is the Hebrew word tzadichet, tzach. And that's why the Torah is giving us these mitzvot. Because by making these donations, you were donating your impurities. And the ultimate impurity is death. To avoid death, you must first clean yourself, cleanse yourself. And that's what all of these verses are referring to. Now, we have changed. The temple isn't in existence. So we don't have this mitzvah. But it applies to us. So what is it? What are we saying it doesn't apply? It does apply. But we only do it when the temple is in existence. No, we really don't. We do it each time we hear the reading. Each time we start to consider, how do we connect to Hashem? when you donate to the priest, or in our generation, when you donate to charities, you're donating tzedakah, you're donating truma. By transferring your negativity to the organization that you donate to, you make your negativity holy. What is the purpose of becoming holy? Holy is a spiritual level of consciousness where you have struggled to purify yourself. And you have reached the level of being cleansed. And now Hashem needs to pick you up and elevate you to be holy. You cannot become holy if you are connecting to the left column, the desire to receive. You become holy by something outside of yourself, typically Hashem, who lifts you up and transfers you from the left column to the right column. The Torah tells us that we are to become holy. Do you want to become holy? Do you want to donate property to the priest and let him evaluate it? Do you want to donate yourself to the temple? This is the nature of the curses that are associated to the parasha of Pifukotai. It's about becoming pure. It's becoming cleansed, purified. And there is a funny aspect to purification. You have a desire to receive. You have a desire to receive $1 million. As soon as the desire is thought about, sitting on the table is the $1 million. But you cannot have it because you're not sufficiently pure to receive it. We can all understand that. We all can all understand what I just said. But as you purify, your desire to receive $1 million, that desire to receive becomes less. This is a paradox. The greater your desire, the more impure. The more impure, the greater your desire. But to receive your desire, you must become purified. How does this work? It's a paradox. And every paradox works the same way. As your desire to receive becomes fulfilled, what is associated with it is impurity. Your desire to receive is $1 million. But as you receive $100,000, your desire goes down. It's now only 900,000, not 1 million. Now you earn you receive another 200,000. Well, your desire to receive is 700,000. And as your desire to receive becomes less because you've been fulfilled partially, the strength of the desire becomes less, and therefore what you receive becomes less. This is a paradox. The whole idea of chapter 27 that I just read is about finding a balance to this paradox. My desire is for $1 million, but I don't receive $1 million at once. Because in the physical world, we live in a process. So as my desire is partially fulfilled, my desire becomes less. And if my desire becomes less, then I don't draw as much. The energy this week from these two parashiyot is to balance your desire to receive with the aspect of cleansing your desire. Now, what does it mean to cleanse your desire? It means to transform your desire for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share. The verses are not talking that a male is worth more. The verses are talking that a male is more impure than the female. I can go on for another 20 minutes, but I think you get the idea. I hope you're getting the idea. The purpose of these verses, the purpose of the times this week, the energy this week, is to purify yourself without losing the desire. And that is something that is very difficult to do. You've all experienced it. You have a desire for some physical thing. And when you get it, your desire is not fulfilled. Your desire is gone. How do you keep your desire and receive the fulfillment? this concept is very difficult to comprehend. And that's why I'm taking the time to explain it. It's difficult to find balance in this world. We all know that. But it is important that we follow this. It's important that we come to understand that as long as my desire is for oneself alone, I will create chaos for myself. But when I transform it into sharing, I also must maintain the consciousness of the desire to receive. I cannot allow my desire to be fulfilled. This is why the Talmud says that every person dies unfulfilled. If I have a desire for $1 million and I receive the $1 million, I will grow that desire and ask for $2 million. So what are we doing? Why? What is the purpose of our desire? Our desire for things leads us astray. Our true desire is to be close to Hashem, or closer to Hashem. As I get closer to Hashem, my desire grows. My passion to be with Hashem grows. How do I keep it balanced? The energy of the times is the way we keep our balance in this world, in this process. Does anyone have any questions? Did anybody understood what I was trying to get across to you? Is anybody willing to contemplate what is being said here today? This is the last parasha in the book of the priest. What do the priests represent? They represent holiness. And what is holiness? It's the choice that transforms your purificated state, your essence of being purified, from the left column to the right column. From receiving to sharing. That's the energy of this week. That's the end of our class, unless there's questions. And I'm going to be surprised if there's questions, because what I've said is very difficult to understand. But if you contemplate it and you reread these verses and you look past the obvious chauvinism built into the verses and ask, what is the purpose of these verses? They don't make sense unless you're looking at the consciousness of purification. Are there any questions?
I don't have a question, but I'd like to make a statement. I hope it'll come out right. These verses have puzzled me over the years as well, and with the value of a woman. And there's sort of a parallel on Saturday morning services where I don't see it so much anymore, but in one of the blessings where it says, I'm glad that Hashem didn't make me a woman. And I think that's always been taken in a negative negative way, until maybe about a year ago, I read a commentary where it was explained that whoever worded it that way, they were actually thanking Hashem because Hashem had given the male the job of more mitzvah, like tefillin and things that a woman didn't have to do because of them being time-related. So it gave a completely different meaning to the statement that you know, I'm glad that you haven't made me a woman. And I saw it parallel to parts of this particular parsha that you explained. Certainly doesn't, you know, carry it to the extent that you explained, but I do see the parallel.
Very much a mirror.
Female,
well,
you know, evaluation of the male and female aspect with that Saturday morning prayer. The blessings.
Thank you, Anna, for sharing that comment. It's very much a parallel to that morning blessing. It's very much a parallel to the riddles that was the story of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Eliezer, his son, and how these other men had blessed him, and he interpreted it as a curse. It's the same idea. A human being has a tendency to perceive things negatively. And you have to resist that tendency. We read those stories about Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Eliezer on Lag BaOmer. So I hope you're reflecting or you're aware of what I'm referring to.
I think so, too, that we have to carry it a little bit further. Because women have a tendency to share. We also have a tendency to share too much. Not the right place at the right time with the right Kavanah. We think we are. But I think we also, with this wanting to have the desire to share and not for oneself alone, that we also have to keep in mind that we have to keep those things in mind, all of those things, because sometimes we're not meant to share. You've given us the hint, if the person hasn't asked the question, that's one way of evaluating whether or not you need to keep your mouth closed or not. So I think as we think upon this desire to share, on one level, yes, it's a strong desire, and it's a strong desire, especially in women who have mothered and taught, and it's very easy for most women to share, that we still have to keep it in balance as well. Hope I've said it the way I understand it.
It's well said. It's clear. week where we have so many curses. But they're not curses. They're tools of blessing. If you read them, they're horrifying. A mother will eat her child. Absolutely horrifying. But then the Talmud comes along and says, you know that fetus that you bore for 9 months? That fetus is a murderer. It doesn't care if you live. It only wants to grow. It only has a desire to receive. And it's up to you to teach the child, to teach it how to balance, to teach it to ask a question when you do share. What is the best thing for the person you're sharing to? How do I let go of my agenda, which is the desire to receive? How do I let go of my desire in order to help the other person? These paradoxes is what the Torah is teaching us this week. It's giving us the opportunity to reevaluate how we treat other people. It's giving us the opportunity to decide how we will get closer to Hashem. Will it be through the path of pain and suffering? Or will it be through the path of Torah? Those are the only options. And that's why it's a paradox. This is not an easy subject. It's not an easy parasha. It's not easy energy to comprehend. I hope you have a good week. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.